Our scripture reading this morning, as I refrain just for about two Sundays from 1 John, will focus on the other book that John wrote, and that is the Gospel according to John. You have studied that under the leadership of David on Sunday mornings, and so it's not something new to you. So let us read John chapter 1, verse 1 through 18. This is God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but come that the light, that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which coming into this world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." So far, the reading of God's Word. We'll focus on the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, you already know quite a bit about the Apostle John in the preaching through 1 John. On the next Sundays, as I said, I will focus on the Gospel of John. I think something that stood out in our studying of the letters of John so far was that John wanted his readers to have great assurance. And we have seen, and we will talk about it again as we proceed in this whole series, that it is not an attitude of haughtiness that make the Christian say, "But I have assurance of my salvation." Because our salvation is not based upon our feelings or our conviction, but based upon the promises that God has given us, which we have heard this morning, is absolute, secure, and sure. And that is the anchor for our souls. So John wanted children of God to know that they may be sure that they have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. He wanted his readers to know Jesus. That was the other thing that we have already seen in our study of 1 John. He wanted us to know that the Jesus that hung on the cross, the Jesus that you and I proclaim today, is truly the Jesus that is historically a reality. He is the historic Jesus, the Jesus of whom they were eye and ear witnesses, the Jesus they testified about, and he also said, "We proclaim him as the one who is truly God, who became truly man without sin and without giving up his divinity." Now, some of the things that you surely learned also in your studies of the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings was that John most likely has written these letters, the epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then he wrote the gospel, both probably in the city of Ephesus. And all these writings seemingly were done around or after 85 AD. And in the gospel, he gives the purpose of his writing also at the end of the letter. You remember someone of you asked me, why do you start a book when you do the last verse in chapter 5, in 1 John chapter 5? John really does the same thing in his account of the gospel, because you find the purpose of his letter in chapter 20, verse 30. And there he says, therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You see, he says, these things have been written so that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, and that he is the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. So basically he's doing the same thing through the gospel and also through his epistles. For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the glory of God, for the sake of man's salvation eventually too, John hammered in this truth that Jesus is the Christ, but that this Jesus was not only man, and that's something he focused quite a bit on in 1 John, we'll see that, but here in the gospel, focus again on the fact that Jesus is not only man, but he is also divine, he's also truly God. Thus, it is remarkable that John's gospel does not start in a similar way than the other gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what do they start with? They start with the birth of Jesus Christ. John's account of the gospel is the last of the four accounts, even in the time frame. It was written last of all the gospels. And it is as if John wanted to tell us, okay, you have heard it now. You have heard all these accounts of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but be careful. Watch out. Make sure that you know that what was written in these accounts, that you truly believe it, that you truly know the real Jesus, that you truly know the real gospel. Because there are also, and John in his epistles focus on that too, there are also false accounts and people who proclaim a false Jesus. And don't think that was only something that happened in the time of the Apostle John. It is happening in our days more and more. People with charisma draw hundreds and thousands of people unto themselves, but the Jesus that they proclaim is not the Jesus of the Bible. And as we all are in season of celebrating the birth of Jesus, even we have to be careful not to be caught up what I want to call a shallow worldly celebration of this wonderful truth of the birth of Jesus, and that we will always remember who we are truly dealing with, that he is the Son of God. So I ask you now, and I will probably ask it many times in the future as we go through these truths, do you know the Jesus who was born in Bethlehem? Do you truly know him? Have you, in this season of your life, have you truly come to rest in the Christ who has come to save us from eternal misery and reconciled us with God to give us eternal life? In order for you to have the absolute peace about your salvation, you must have a true knowledge of who Jesus is. You must know who the true Jesus is, the Jesus of the Bible, and you must put your faith and trust in that Jesus, the only Jesus, the only gospel. But see what John does. When he starts with his gospel, he does not mention the name Jesus before verse 17, and after that, not until verse 29. And there's a good reason for that as well. Because strictly speaking, he could not speak of Jesus as the one who was from the beginning. Because Jesus is the name given to him only after he was born of the Virgin Mary. It was his human name. So it is correct to say, or probably more correct to say than that, the Son of God, or the second person of the Godhead, existed with God and as God. Because our Lord always existed with God and as God. And he always existed in unity and fellowship with the Father. So what John is teaching us in the first two verses is almost impossible for us to wrap our minds around. And we could only grasp it through faith. That this eternal God has eventually come to this earth at a specific time. And that's why, to prevent to get messed up through all these kind of words used, he talks about the Word of God. And there's another reason why he used that. Because he says later also that it was through Jesus that you and I know. He was the one that spoke the word. He is the word of God to us, who revealed God to us. So let us see now how John reveals the truth to us. He starts with, in the beginning, literally, in beginning. Now, what do you and I know of the concept of eternity? Do we truly have a concept of time? Sometimes a work day can feel so long, right? Or I'm sure some of our young children cannot wait for Christmas Day that they can unwrap those gifts. Especially that last week, it feels like when you're young, the time just cannot get by. I mean, it just takes so long. And yet, it seems like the older we get, the faster time goes by. You've probably experienced that. You look at this year and all the things that happen, and it's like gone like that. And for that matter, also, when we think about our lives, how often have you wondered, where has time gone? What happened to time? What happened to those years that we sometimes call the good old years, right? It feels as if he just flies by. How difficult then for you and me to understand that our God existed in eternity before, but also will continue to exist in eternity in the future, eternity after, if you want to put it that way. He existed in eternity, and then what happened? John says there was a beginning. So in the beginning, John says, so in this eternity, there was a beginning. Now remember, I always said, read the Bible in context. First, the immediate context, and then the wider context. So if you look at verse 3, it says, all things were created by the Word. So what is the beginning referring to? In the context, it refers to the time when God created everything through his Son, Jesus Christ. And then time, as you and I know it, also came into being, into existence. So there was an eternity, and then one day there was a beginning with time that started as you and I know it today. And one day, time as we know it will also end again. And we will also live in an eternity. Those who don't know God, in an eternity in hell. And those who knew God, in an eternity in his eternal presence. Now, this is a verse that most of us know when he says, in the beginning was the Word. And it does not fall strange on our ears when we hear it, but it is also a verse that has been misused by many false teachers. I'll say something about that a little later. But I want you to imagine first how the first readers of this account of the gospel would have responded when they heard what John said. Remember, they knew the Old Testament. They knew the Genesis account of God's creation. So they knew the word that said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? But now, with what John is writing, instead of hearing God, they heard the word. In the beginning was the word. See, you could imagine that initially they did not understand this. And just then, John continues. Firstly, he says, the word was. Now, even that is, if we break it down, that's what my plan is this morning, just to break it down, because he's using these words with a specific intention. He adds information, so to speak, piece by piece, in order to eventually reveal to us the wonderful truth of who Jesus is. It is like, and I know nothing about the art, but stitches in the process of creating a beautiful quilt or a tapestry or something like that. One stitch more that adds eventually to this beautiful picture. And that's why he uses small words with significant meanings and short tensions, sentences. So on the one hand, John says, in the beginning was the word, and then in verse 3 he says, all things came into being by him. Now, in the original language, there are two different words that are translated as was. The one word used for was means to exist. The other word used for was means to come into being. So here's the thing. Of creation, John said, it egenitor, it came into being, it came into existence. All things came into being through the word. It was created through the word. They did not exist, but they came into being, right? In other words, it had a starting point. But of the word, Jesus himself, he says, he, and the was that he used there, he existed. That is what he uses in verse 1 and 2. The word did not come into being. He always existed. The word did not have a starting point. You see the immaculate truth. So if we understand the meaning of these words, we could translate the start of verse 1 as follows. In the beginning was continuing the word. And then John continues to say, and the word was with God. One more piece of information to add when he says, and the word was with God. So here is what we hear. The word also was in the presence of God. God existed in eternity. The Word existed in eternity. And they, God the Father and the Word, were together in eternity. So when God the Father created in the beginning, the Word was also with him. And God the Father created through the Word everything. Paul says that in Colossians chapter 1. The author of the Hebrews says the same truth. It was all created through Jesus Christ. The Word existed in the closest possible fellowship with God as the second person of the Trinity. So you see who the Word is that John speaks about. If you look down to verse 17 and we read, the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through whom? Through Jesus Christ. And so is the identity of the Word revealed. His name is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. But then there is one more important thing to say about the identity of Jesus Christ. One more stitch in this tapestry. It says, and the Word was God. So John has said, in the beginning was, meaning he did not come into existence, he was always there. He existed in eternity, and the Word was with God. And then he adds, and the Word was God. Now, the witnesses of Jehovah who do not believe in the divinity of the Son of God translated this as, and the Word was a God, one of many. No, we already saw who the Word is. He's the Son of God. He is Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says, He is God. In his epistles, he will focus, as I said earlier, John will focus on the fact that he was truly man. Here in the gospel, he also focuses on the truth that he is truly God. The second person of the triune God is truly God himself. And he repeats this truth in verse 18 where he says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Who has explained God the Father? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It was J.C. Ryle who said, the things which are peculiar to the gospel according to John are among the most precious possessions of the Church of Christ. No one of the four accounts has given us such full statements about the divinity of Christ. Oh, and I hope truly in my heart that you realize again this morning how there are out there a lot of cheap and common accounts of Jesus. The Word of God says, Jesus Christ is a distinct person of the Godhead. The second person, the Father, the first, the Son, the second, the Holy Spirit, the third. He existed as a distinct person. He was not in God, he was with God, distinct and yet one. All three, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God. All three existed in eternity past and will continue to exist in eternity future. All three are equal in glory and majesty and worthy to be praised and worshipped. And I hope we as a church will anew treasure these precious statements about Jesus Christ in our lives, day after day. I pray that we will remember that He is God, not some Santa, and I say it with respect towards the Lord. No, He Himself proclaimed His own divinity on earth. Take, for instance, that passage in John chapter 8. You can go and read verse 52 through 58. In this passage, Jesus was accused of being a Samaritan and of having a demon because he said, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste of death. And then how did the Pharisees respond? They told him, Abraham died and all the prophets died. Thus they concluded, you are not greater than our father Abraham. You will also die, in other words, they told him. But what did Jesus answer to contradict that? He said, before Abraham was born, I am. Even when he prayed his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, he said, glorify me together with yourself. And he said further on, I and the Father are one. John's words cannot be reduced to mean anything else to mean anything less. Our Lord is God. He is eternal. He existed in the very beginning, and He has ever existed with the Father. So, beloved in the Lord, remember, this is the Jesus of the Bible. This is the Jesus that you must celebrate and worship during this season, but literally every day of your life. And only when you know Him as He reveals Himself and celebrate and worship Him as God will you have real joy and real peace also again in this time. Only when you know Him as the Word who was from the beginning and who is God will you also have true salvation through Him. Because remember, His divinity was opposed and rejected while He was on earth. His divinity is rejected today also by many. And those who reject it will not see Him. But the Word John described to us is the Savior who loves you. He is the Christ. The Holy Spirit has drawn you to. He is the Savior who came to this world and revealed to us who God is. He came and revealed to us the attributes and the perfections of God. He displayed to us God's wonderful power and His wisdom and His holiness and His majesty. He came and revealed to us God's love for us, His own. He revealed to us and demonstrated to us God's grace for sinners like you and me, when He gave His own life to become an atonement for our sins. This is the Savior we are called to worship. Thus we can sing, "Sinners, ring with true repentance, justice now revokes the sentence, mercy calls you, break your chains, come and worship, come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King." Amen. Let us pray.